I'd ask you to turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John, and chapter 10. The Gospel of John and chapter 10. And we read by way of text verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the subject before us this evening is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And this message seeks to focus upon the wonderful attributes and actions of Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. Now, the word good here in the text before us means intrinsically good. That is, as God is love, so God is good. It's part of God's being. It is who God is. As much as God is love, God is good. And Christ, the Son of God, not only does good, but he is good. It's who he is. The Good Shepherd. Now, in his goodness, as the Son of God, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has eternal care for all those who trust him, for all those who follow him. And he describes those that follow him as being his sheep. And he's laid down his life specifically for his sheep, his followers. Now, the first thing we can see before us this evening is that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is the one who truly cares, Now, this care is a very important question for us, is it not? We live in an increasingly hostile, materialistic, greedy and selfish society. And in this humanistic society, we can understand how the psalmist said on one occasion in his own experience that no man careth for my soul. No man cares for my soul. And we will not find any care for our soul in the world. So where are we going to find care for our soul? Because our soul is our most precious possession. Whatever you might consider to be precious this evening in your life, there is one thing that superabounds anything else. It is your soul. Your soul is eternal. Inasmuch it has an eternal destiny. It is either, you are either heading for heaven or you are heading for hell. And if we put our trust by God's grace in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, we find in him and in him alone one who truly cares for us. There's only one person that can actually fulfill the deep inner need you have in your life. And God brings us to this point of conviction in spiritual experience by various means. The Holy Spirit is working in these different patterns, these different experiences of life, but they all point to the same person. Eventually, if God is working in your soul this evening, it may be the Lord is using loneliness in your life. the pain of loneliness. Maybe the Lord is using the pain of emptiness. You've tried several things in your life and they seem to fill you, but it's like a sink without a plug in it. It's pouring straight through. It may be you're experiencing the pain of fear. There is something ahead of you, something that you fear greatly. It may be under conviction of sin this evening that you fear hell. And that actually is a fear that God can use positively in your life to bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ, to come under his eternal care and be delivered from hell and from the wrath of God, and for the just desert of your sin. But then you might have the pain of failure. Now, we live in this world which puts so much emphasis upon success. And you may have tried your best in a situation, and yet it appears you failed. And the world might look on with scorn, or you may feel humiliated, but God can even use failure in your life to bring you to the Good Shepherd. But then the Lord can use loss and bereavement and tragedy to bring you to the Good Shepherd, the one who really does care. You see, we come to this stage in our experience where, above anything else, we need to find someone, a person who really cares, who really understands us, who really knows us. You see, sometimes, friends, we don't even understand ourselves. We're so contradictory at times and so complicated in our thinking and our contradictions sometimes in our thinking and life and actions. We don't even understand ourselves and know ourselves, but we need a person that understands us. A person who knows us. We need someone who's going to be honest with us and truthful with us, who really has our best interests at heart. Someone who will teach us and someone who will guide us and someone who will show us and someone, as our brother was speaking about on Tuesday evening, who is with us wherever we go. We may not always feel that, but he said he will never leave us or forsake us, all those that put their trust in him. There is nothing more important for you this evening than for you to look up to a person and respect a person assuredly who cares for you. In a world of corruption, in a world of false promises, we're coming to election year again and there will be manifestos. And we all know that whatever man might write in their manifesto, they can't assuredly say that all these promises will be kept, because history proves they are not kept. There is only one person who you can most assuredly trust, and that is the Good Shepherd. And that is why God the Father, a God that cannot lie, delights that we should come to his Son, Jesus Christ, and come into a relationship with God the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this evening, I want us to look at some of the ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ describes himself as the Good Shepherd. And the first point that Christ makes in his presentation to us of himself as the Good Shepherd is to warn. He describes himself here as the door of the sheep. In verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And then right at the very beginning, he says, verily, at verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And in this analogy, Christ, in these two analogies here, Christ is describing himself not only as the shepherd of the sheep, but also he will go on to describe himself as the door of the sheep. There's two descriptions he's given to us of himself as the one that really cares for the sheep. Now, he sets out a picture here of a sheepfold enclosure. And there's only one proper entry to this sheepfold enclosure, and that is by the door. But he's warning us here that actually there are thieves and robbers that don't come in by the door. They climb up some other way to steal the sheep within the fold. False shepherds, they get in by other means. And their objective is to destroy because they are thieves and robbers. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. Now, we live sadly in a time of deceit. The children were reminded of that in Sunday school this afternoon. We have false teachers and false preachers and false priests who climb up some other way. These false teachers have no care for the sheep. They do not warn. They do not care. And when danger comes, they flee. And their teaching is summed up by the Lord. They're climbing up some other way. They're pointing to some other way. And their real objective is deceit and destruction, despair. And this may sound a very strong language, friends, but we need to be aware of this. The Lord Jesus is warning us here of false shepherds, of hirelings, those that are not really in have a love and a care for the sheep. They are ambassadors of Satan. And now this may sound a bit unloving, but you know it isn't unloving, because if we really love people's souls, it will really grieve us if we know that people are being deceived. People are being deceived. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Well, a true shepherd, as a pastor, is one that would always seek to magnify Christ in your mind. He will always seek to lead you to Christ. And will understand there's no other way. There's no other way. It's Christ alone. False shepherds are those that encourage a false way of entry into the fold to get to the sheep, which excludes Christ. It's a Christ-less gospel. Uniting factor of all false religion is Christ is not supreme Savior alone. Jesus only is not in their religion. And that is really one of the great and simplest tests of these false religions. We may have a lot of things we can talk about, this religion and that religion, but quite simply, what think you of Christ is the test. Well, in this picture, Christ, the Good Shepherd, shows that he enters the right way. We can have absolute confidence in him. And the picture is given here in the context of the time of that day, is given of the shepherd who is arriving to collect his sheep. And the night porter has been taking care of the sheep in a huge, great fold. And the shepherd arrives for his sheep to take them out for grazing. And he's instantly recognized by his sheep. The sheep hear his voice. They know him. And then the good shepherd, as he's called his sheep, he leads the sheep out. He doesn't have to drive the sheep out. All these sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. They trust the shepherd's voice. And he does not drive the sheep out with a stick. He just speaks to them. He calls them. And then he goes before them. What a difference. This amazing shepherd here, picture here, is of the shepherd going before the sheep. And whatever the sheep are going to experience that day, he will experience. And so it is for those that follow the Lord Jesus. As you go into a difficult period in your life, the Lord Jesus goes ahead of you. He's with you. He's with you all the way. The sheep follow him. Why do they follow him? They know his voice. They trust his word. They trust his way where he is leading them. They know by experience that this shepherd is one that cares for them, defends them. And they follow his voice of authority. And so it is for all those that truly follow the Lord Jesus. They prove him to be compassionate, to be understanding, to be wise, to be true, to be effective, meaningful, good. Oh, when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us through his word, we can be sure that his word is sure. The promises of God are sure. Oh, what about this word? Maybe you've come in this evening and you feel somewhat burdened by sin and guilt. And the Lord Jesus says this to you from his word. Be of good cheer. Pardon? I don't feel I've got much to be cheerful about this evening. I've got everything reason you might think to feel heavy. But listen to what Jesus says, the good shepherd. Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Oh, if you will but look to the Lord Jesus Christ and in God's great goodness, trust in him and in him alone. Oh, be of good cheer this evening. Rejoice in the Lord and in the power of his might. We've nothing to rejoice in and of ourselves. But as we look out of ourselves and we look unto Christ, the good shepherd, oh, dear friends, you have every reason to be of good cheer. Your cheerfulness is not in yourself. The reason for your cheerfulness is all because of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. Now, the sheep will not follow a stranger. They will flee from him. They do not know his voice. His voice has no authority. And God gives his sheep, his followers, a spiritual instinct. Something is not ringing true. They're uneasy in their spirit. Well, here we have then this picture at the beginning part of chapter 10 of a large fold, which includes actually a great number of sheep in security for the night. And there were various owners, of that huge fold full of sheep. And when the good shepherd arrives and calls his sheep, only his sheep respond to his voice. So it is, if you are a seeker after Christ, in the end, there's only one voice to heed, the Good Shepherd. It's what he says is important. It's not what your friend says is important. It's what Jesus Christ says is important. In the end, it's what the Good Shepherd says to you this evening, which is most important. And there is only one voice which will resonate with you in your soul need this evening. There's only one voice which will really meet your need, which will really help you, and that's the voice of the Good Shepherd. And here is the real test of a true seeker this evening. You will settle for nothing less than the real thing. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Some years ago, we visited Nepal for ministry, and in a place called Pokhara. It's a place where many people go for mountaineering, and along the street, it's full of shops selling clothing for walking and mountaineering. But actually, most of the shops are not selling the original. Well, I needed a coat, because I was going to be taken up the mountain, and I didn't have a very, very warm coat with me. So I had to buy a coat. Well, I bought a coat. I have to confess, I think I've still got it, which had North Face on it, but it wasn't the real thing. It looked like North Face coat. It looked, at a distance, it looked just like a North Face coat. And it sold as a North Face coat. And I said, is this real? Oh no, they said, this is a copy. They weren't, they weren't hiding it. But it was the only coat I could get at the time. But when I put that coat on, friends, I didn't feel very easy about it. I felt uneasy because really it was a copy. It wasn't the real thing. And so it is. We can only come to the Word of God. What does Jesus say in his Word? And what Jesus says is so important for us this evening. It's the real thing. It's not a copy. It's the real thing. And God calls us to trust in what his Son says to us. And his Son says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the sheep know his voice. The sheep hear his voice, and the sheep follow his real voice. And for us this evening, only Christ will do. O Christ, in thee my soul has found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. And this is where the Lord brings us in his presentation of himself as the good shepherd. He brings us the second part of his teaching here. He's taught him as he being the shepherd that calls the sheep follow him, they know his voice. And then he moves the description of himself to a different analogy in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. And the Lord has given us another picture for us to consider to help us to understand his care for his sheep. I am the door. What does this mean? It means he is the only way of access to heaven. He's the only way of salvation. He's the only door to salvation, the only way to be saved. So he says in verse 9, he explains what he means. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. It may be that you haven't entered in yet this evening, friends, and you're unsaved. You cannot be saved unless you enter in, unless you are wholly trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, saved from what this evening? What does the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, mean here? Saved from what? Well, first I would bring before you, saved from eternal punishment. Now, dear friends, we have been privileged in the past few days to bury a dear sister in the Lord. And those of you who were with us on Monday here will no doubt have sensed something of the presence of the Lord, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And what was the reason for this? Because the Good Shepherd had taken this dear one to glory. And the God who doesn't lie assures us of this in his word. She entered in and was saved, and now she's entered into glory. Dear friends, this is something very precious. But by the same token, the God that cannot lie, who promises heaven to all those that follow his dear Son, the Shepherd, Jesus Christ, also says, if we reject him, we will go to hell, which is the place of everlasting punishment. As much as God is true about heaven in his word, God is true in his word about hell. Now, this is where it brings us this evening. This is what's been on my mind even more in the last hour to speak to you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said something extremely solemn. Now, we may think as we look out of the world and we see people, you know, maybe many people in Ashford at this time are perhaps around their televisions watching something ungodly or in the pub or in the club or elsewhere doing something totally ungodly. And we may think we're quite righteous to be in chapel this evening. But think of the opportunities that God has given you. Maybe you've been brought up in a godly home and your parents are praying for you. And you've heard the gospel. You've had the privilege of being brought up in Sunday school. And you've heard the gospel. And the Good Shepherd's been very kind to you and tender to you and given you the privilege of hearing the word of God explained to you. But you may feel a bit righteous this evening. Well, I'm in chapel and the bad people are outside. But the Lord Jesus said, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment, the very bad people, than for those who have heard the gospel and been brought up under the gospel and hardened their hearts to the gospel and turned their back upon the Lord Jesus Christ than for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment. And I find that passage one of the most solemn in all of Scripture. saved from hell. But only if you enter in. Only if you enter in. Only if you enter in. By the door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, saved from the wrath of God, saved from the condemnation of the law, saved from slavery to Satan, only if you enter in shall you be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That text we read out. Oh, the thief cometh not for to steal, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Satan is seeking to destroy you. But Christ came to save sinners. And he calls us to follow him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, the good shepherd has given his life for his sheep. He says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He's voluntarily laid down his life for the sheep, that those that follow him might be saved from eternal punishment in hell, the wrath of God, the condemnation of the law, slavery to sin. And saved means to be delivered and safe and sound, and it means ultimately to be taken to heaven where there'll be no more sin. The most secure place is heaven. Because no sin can enter heaven. The good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only saves, he secures. And the question is this evening, for each one of us, how secure are you? How secure am I? And if you have not entered in by the door, how secure are you without Christ? That is the question you need to ask yourself as you lay down to sleep tonight. How secure am I really without Christ? Sheep without a shepherd, you know, are the most vulnerable of animals. They're weak, they have no sense of direction. The Lord Jesus Christ looked at a great multitude once and he said, his heart went out to them. They said, they are a sheep without a shepherd. So it is with an unbeliever today. We're vulnerable without Christ. We have no resistance really to sin and no spiritual direction. We live in by our own truth. We make up our own truth and we convince ourselves that that is truth. And we're governed by worldly values and motives in and of ourselves. And we're driven by all sorts of things. We're not led. We're driven people. We're driven by materialism. We're driven by idolatry. We're driven by perhaps even the internet. I know some people who spend so much time, hours and hours, on a virtual life station. And what it is they stand in front, they sit in front of their computers and they build up a virtual life. They press into the feed into the computer what they really want to be, rich and famous, perhaps the best footballer in the world or the most intelligent person in the world. And they can feed all this thing into their computer. And they become to believe in it. It's not reality, but it becomes reality to them. This is not strength. This is not liberty. This is weakness. This is being driven. A driven person. Well, vulnerable to the enemy of souls, Satan. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, the good shepherd is known for his secure care. The good shepherd ensures the pasture for his sheep. He leads the sheep into the pasture land. They shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, he feeds them through the word of God. And he speaks about having life more abundantly, that they might have life, spiritual life. And their even their living here upon this world naturally will be more abundant. That doesn't mean about prosperity. It means it will be more meaningful. Oh, before, when you had the food set before you, you didn't used to be really thankful to God. But now, as a Christian, if you follow him, you see the food and your provisions that you have before you, and you're thankful to God. And when God hears and answers prayer, oh, God's grace humbles you. And when you go away and you look at views and scenery on holiday, it has a different picture. You look, you could perhaps go to the same place 2 years in a row. The first year as an unbeliever, and you look at the view and all around you, and that's very nice. But the next year you go as a believer, you look at that same view, and it humbles you. Your whole being is affected. And you come forth in praise to God. Life is more abundant, it's more meaningful, it's more real. It's affecting your whole being, your mind, your heart, your soul, your very being. Your whole being is affected. Oh, friends, more abundant, and then ultimately, eternally, abundantly. It's a life of spiritual growth, of preparation for glory, a life of serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, you remember how Abraham's servant went to find a wife for Isaac. And he found Rebecca in God's goodness as God led him in the way. And when they got to the house of Rebecca, they wanted him to sit down and have a lavish meal. And he said, I will not eat until I've told my master's business. And he talks so beautifully about Abraham. Abraham, my servant. Oh, he respects Abraham. Abraham as his servant. He respects Abraham as his master. He speaks well of his master. And he believes in the God of his master, Abraham. But how much more for us to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and speak well of him as the good shepherd. But then finally this evening, but the good shepherd gives us another important reason why we need to trust him, why we need to follow him in verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of them. When Christ died upon the cross as the savior of sinners, he knew everyone for whom he died, for whom he suffered. He knew we were by nature enemies of him, that by nature we said, we will not have this man to rule over us. Yet knowing we were enemies, we are told in Scripture, he died for sinners. So when we repent of our sin and we put our trust in him, we can be absolutely sure that he knows us and he has our best interest at view. He knows all about our pathway, all about our needs, all about our spiritual state, all about our condition, our sins in the past, the present, and the future. And he has come from heaven and gone to Calvary at such a great cost, so you can be sure, as you put your trust in him, you are very special to him. He redeemed you with his precious blood. redeemed from sin at a great cost. Every single sheep is of eternal value to him. Every one of his sheep is equally precious to him. And am known of mine. Here we are assured of this blessed partnership. Not only about Christ knowing us, but about us knowing him. As Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And then I must just mention this, where the Lord says in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. This good shepherd said on another occasion, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And here is his love. I've laid down my life for sinners. The love of the good shepherd. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus, the good shepherd. There's no better experience, there's no better position than to be a sheep of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he whom he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. There was a mother from the USA who adopted a young boy from Russia. But evidently this young boy didn't live up to expectations. She got weary of him. No longer wanted to care for him. Evidently, this is a true account. I don't know how they were able to do it. But they gave this boy his passport. They bought a ticket back to Moscow. Took him to the airport. Put him on a plane. And sent him back to Russia. With a letter handing him back to the state. How could someone do that? Didn't live up to their expectations. Wasn't the dream boy that they were expecting. But our good shepherd doesn't do that to us. Oh, we let him down so many times. But he never leaves us. Or forsakes us. Why? Because he is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He is the Son of God. Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Follow him. Let's turn to our hymn books.